Okay, the more I look at things, I believe in this Hebrew year we will see the end of the faction to stop the man-child, which is the dragon seeking to devour him. And I believe the Lord will come in his man-child with earthquakes, and the revival will start, and governments will change. I want to share this with you concerning that timing. It was a revelation given to Eve Brast on the 19th of this month. And we're going to share that with you with a lot of verses. But at the beginning of it, she said she was given by faith at random, Romans 8 and 5. And so we'll read 1 through 8. It says, "There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So with that, I want to share this dream that Eve had. "I had a dream that I was preparing food in one of the operating rooms of a large hospital that I've never been at in real life. And I was preparing the food for a nurse named Deborah at her request. It was a salad of some kind. Well, let me say that an operating room is where broken lives are supposed to be repaired. It could be a symbol of that. Evil is cut out and good put in, supposedly. And the food that we prepare is for the same purpose. The food meaning, of course, the materials, the word of the Lord that is given to us. And teachings on righteousness and discipleship and so on. And she said, "As I was taking it to her, an orderly stopped me in the hall and asked me to come and to help him. And I followed him into a small room that had a stainless steel double sink and a metal cart. It was the size of a small walk-in closet. And there was just enough room for he and I to stand between the sink and the metal shelf cart." Well, okay, you remember she was preparing food, so I believe that this is a distraction from serving the food to repair broken lives. We have seen this distraction for several years, and it has always been demons working through the factious to stop the spiritual food from getting to those who need it. Attacks against the materials workers, against the prophecies, against whatever. And against me, of course. But she said, when she went into this room, in the sink, she said, "I saw two boys, about 11 or 12 years old, one in each side of the sink. They both had tan or olive skin and were completely naked. Well, to Christians, we mostly think of Jews as having olive skin, although there are others too. But Jews are a type of Christians in our body, right? And nakedness here means that they are full of sin. And she said they had been dismembered. Well, dismembered is what faction does, as many dreams and visions have shown. Faction dismembers people from the body of Christ, in that they don't forgive, they are no longer forgiven, and are not under the blood. So she said, I wondered how this had happened, and then I had a vision of the boys harassing an older man by egging or toilet papering his house in the dark. Well, this is obvious to us what this means. The factious persecute the elder, more mature man, behind his back. And that's me. In Psalm 11 and 2, for lo, the wicked bend the bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. This defacing of this house represents slander. God is dismembering the wicked for their slander against me. She said, when the older man came out of his house to confront the boys, it scared them, and they ran out into the street and were run over. Well, instead of repenting when they were faced with the truth, they ran out and were judged by God. That's the norm, and we've seen it happen over and over and over. You know, the Bible says the fool hates correction. And everybody knows I'm not an overly corrective person, but the demons that have entered into these folks won't accept any correction. They never admit wrong. They never confess sin. Never. And because the root that opens the door to faction is rejection and fear of rejection. The orderly said something about one of the boys' father being angry with them. Well, the father is angry, especially with the one who is fully dismembered, and we'll explain that in a minute. One had been almost torn in half, and the other had been torn in half. So one is totally dismembered, and one is not totally dismembered. And his lower body, that is the one that had been torn in half, his lower body and one whole finger, that's the point finger, you know, and a portion of another finger was in the cart shelf. In other words, totally separated from his upper torso. And the other was lying across the top of the other side of the sink, torn at the torso about three quarters of the way through. So he wasn't totally dismembered. So this is the two types of factious people that we are familiar with. They're with us here locally, and they're out there in larger UVM. One was totally dismembered, and the other partially dismembered, meaning they are still physically with the body, but slowly pulling away. They don't realize that this is like the frog in the teapot. They gradually withdraw from ministry work and fellowship, and then they're gone. And the symptoms are the same every time. Very, very predictable. The orderly said, I need you to help me sew them back together because they're going to die. Well, I didn't understand the point of sewing them up if they were just going to die. But I began helping him to sew up the one that wasn't completely torn in half first. Well, you know, joining him back to the body who was not totally dismembered, so his death was to his sin and not to God. In other words, there are people who are dying to God and others who are dying to sin, you know, because they are giving in to sin. Okay? They're dying to sin because they're departing to sin from sin, right? They're being dead to sin. But it's better than... the funny thing is that he was talking as if he wasn't hurt or didn't realize that he was going to die. And, you know, those who are partially dismembered don't realize that they're going to die because of the, what we call, stupid demons of faction. And they lose all conscience, intellect, and faith. They forget all that they have learned with us and go back to unbelief and sin and judging others. And of course, this is a purpose of God. He has told us this purpose for a long time, and I've shared it with you too, that he is separating from a bride a people that are not found not worthy because they don't have love, because they don't keep the word of God, and so on. So, the one that wasn't completely torn in half just kept talking to the other boy and to us. Well, these partially dismembered are still in communication with both sides. The totally dismembered factious and we who are not factious. Now, sometimes they're just in contact with their spirits. And doesn't make any difference if you're listening to their spirits or whether you're talking to the factious in disobedience to what the Bible says. It'll still take you out. And this is a warning for those who are infected with faction, but what is seen by partial separation of the body, to not communicate with the totally dismembered or they will die. As the word says, Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them." And Revelation 18:4 says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.'" Because most certainly, plagues have come and will come upon the factious. And of course, that's because, in many cases, it's because God loves them and he wants them to turn from their sin. And he wants them to realize that, that their sin is causing them to come under the curse and not under the Passover. Amen. And 2 John 1:9 says, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God." You mean some people can start out with you, but not end up with you. And what he's saying is if they don't continue to abide in the teaching of Christ, they don't have God. "He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son." Of course, that's what the bride does, is continue in the teaching to bear fruit and have both the Father and the Son. If you obey the Son, you'll have the Father. "If anyone comes unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh of his evil works." Do you understand? And I've seen this happen over and over. That people who do give them greeting or people that do continue to talk to them become partakers in their evil works. We know Titus 3:10 is a factious man after a first and second admonition refused, meaning, of course, you should immediately admonish them to repent and to turn away from this wickedness. "Knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned." In Romans 16:17, we see the order of Paul. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions," which is the word meaning faction, right? "And occasions of stumbling." You know, the Lord said he would gather into bundles those that cause stumbling and offense, so that the righteous would shine forth in the kingdom of the Father, meaning there would be no spots and blemishes in them. They would be shining forth without the leaven that leavens the whole lump. That's what God has to do. He has to get the leaven out. We're coming to the last 7 years here, and he has to get the leaven out. "So mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned." And we certainly have learned it, but it doesn't make any difference when a person starts listening to those spirits, in people or not in people. It's the frog in the teapot for them. I mean, it just gradually takes them until they don't even know they've been taken. And it says to turn away from them. That's the command of God. Turn away from them. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent." Knew a young man who had a family whose father and mother fell into this. And I warned him and warned him and warned him. They said, "Well, I'm not going to separate from my father and mother, but you know the scripture says if you don't love the Lord more than your father and mother and family, you're not worthy of him. And whosoever puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me," Jesus said. So sure enough, they were taken. And you know, you're a disciple of Christ. The number one thing in your life is Christ and the Word of God, right? It has to be. And if not, then you're not worthy. And if you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. And if you don't love him, you certainly aren't the bride. So, this partial dismemberment can also mean a husband or a wife is dismembered, for they are supposed to be one body. And of course, I've seen when a wife gets it, the husband gets it. And when a husband gets it, the wife gets it. Because the Bible says, "Be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals." And then she said, "The other boy in the right side of the sink, who only had his torso in the water, while the rest of him was on the cart shelf, wasn't saying anything. He was on his elbows facing the water." Well, those who are completely dismembered don't speak to us, unless it is to deceive us with false love and criticism of others. And they are completely rejected by God until they are delivered or reprobated. That of course, means forever. And I think, she said, "I think he knew he was going to die." Well, maybe on the inside they think they know that, but they can't do anything about it. They don't care, and they do nothing about it, because they're captive to these demons. It is like Nebuchadnezzar, you know, was captive to demons until he was released, and he was so happy to be released and so worshipful of God, you know, because he was released. And of course, those who are released when the man-child anointing comes, the Isaiah 61 anointing to set the captives free and to open the prison to them that are bound, when that does come, these people are going to be just like that. That is, the ones that are delivered, who are the elect of God, they will be just like that. Very worshipful of God, very in love with the Lord, and willing to, you know, like the Apostle Paul, make up for their evil that they've done. Paul was very diligent to go about to make up for the evil that he had done. Partial dismemberment is when those who have been in fellowship lose a desire to be with us and pull back with all kinds of excuses. This is consistent. It's the same strategy. People are warned about it so they can see it clearly. And if they're caught in it, it's their fault. It's because they did not cast down vain imaginations and things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And they're usually the last to come to our particular case, they're the last to come to the meetings and the first to leave fellowship. Usually that's the case. And it's because they've lost their love. Now, you can't lose your love for the brethren without losing your love for God. You just can't do it. Because that's what 1 John says. So then Vanessa Weeks gave us, our smaller experience here at local UBM is just a microcosm of the macrocosm, right? It's a small symbol of what's happening out there with you. And so with that in mind, I'll share this with you. Vanessa Weeks on 5/11/16 said, on the night of 5/7/16, pot blessing, which we attended, I had a short dream. I saw a white young goat standing at the end of the road from Jeff and Sandy's house, which is a house that sometimes we have meetings and sometimes pot blessings and whatever. And I knew it had come from their house and was leaving. That is the goat. The white young goat. Now, goats obviously represent stubborn self-will. And it's almost always caused, because I've watched this over and over very diligently, by rejection. And then leaving represents faction, because rejection opens the door for faction. It's a door-opening demon. And faction comes in, boy, I tell you, it's really bad. And this is rejection that leads to faction, which begins as separation in the heart from the brethren. A young girl with long brown hair was hugging the goat and didn't want it to leave. Well, the young girl, she said, reminded her of Philip's sweet daughter, Miriam, who was wearing pink at the last pot blessing that she intended to. She said, then I woke up suddenly. Well, this is clear that a child can see through this attitude of leaving the fellowship, but the person infected cannot see it. So we have to pray and believe God for them, right? Which we have done many, many, many times. And we know that this is about to come to pass. So we're very happy about that. And I'm going to share that with you, too, in a minute. And she said, I asked for the Lord to speak to me about this dream and got by faith, Matthew 11:26. And my finger was on the word, Father. So we'll read Matthew 11:25-26. At that season, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding. Because they do always think that they are wise and understanding. You can't convince them or change their mind with any scripture. They just ignore it. And it's revealed them unto babes. How perfect that God gave this by random and faith to Eve concerning this situation. Yea, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. Yeah. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen. Oh, God, you're so good. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord, that you know how to weed your body so that it really doesn't affect other people. And I tell you, if it the problem is when you recognize this in a person and you see it's come to that point and you point it out to them, that's when they get angry and they run. They don't ever repent. They get angry and they run. Okay, but then of course they do a lot of slandering behind your back and so on and so forth. And out there among you folks that are listening, the same thing happens. And you know it because quite a few of you have contacted me about factions very close to you and are troubled and pained and slandered and the same things that we've had. But notice here that those who think that they're wise will not listen. But a child can see the stubbornness and withdrawn action of faction. And we know that the bride is love. The bride is love of God and love of His children. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brethren. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love one for another. One man recently sent a letter. It was actually to me and Michael, but then he blind copied it to the rest of the folks around. And he figured out a way to steal a lawnmower after he committed faction and fell away. He'd been using the UBM lawnmower. It's a very big mower because we would carry it around to people that had need and cut their grass. And we of course went in halves on it. He wanted to use it, but he was using a smaller lawnmower that I had contributed, and the mower blew up. So we bought this industrial mower, and they were cutting grass with it. So it's just like all the rest of the faction. He had figured out a way to convince himself that now he owned the mower. He wasn't going to give me back my half of the mower. Well, that's no big bother for me because the Lord's got lots of money, but these people are so afraid they don't have any faith in God that they have to steal things. It's just amazing. Grand theft is common among them. Yeah. And he's among some people. All of them have committed grand theft. So he goes on to say here in this text, he that loveth not abideth in death. Well, I was going to say that he said, written with love. And then he talked about how he was going to steal the lawnmower. People looked at that and just shake their head and say, oh my God, how can you be so foolish, you know? Which they did. And of course they told him, please don't contact me again. And then there's 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God or begotten of God and knoweth God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And those that, you know, might put on airs of love, but show by their actions, like theft, that they don't love. They're schizophrenic. That's demon-possessed. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You know, when you love your brother, what do? Well, number one, you love to be around him. You love to be around that person. You can't stand to be out of fellowship with this person because you love them. And so, you know, that's one of the first things that starts going, and everybody notices it. Oh, so-and-so is pulling back, you know. Oh, they don't come to the meetings as much, and they don't come to the Bible studies as much, and they don't... You know, everybody sees that, and then they realize, uh-oh, it's happening. So they go into prayer. But if the person doesn't want to repent of sin in their life, like this man, he didn't want to repent of sin. He over and over, had problems of unforgiveness as long as I've known him. He never would forgive. And so I told him, I said, if you don't live, you forgive, you're going to be taken out by faction. Well, he was. Because I'd seen it happen so many times. So they just pray for him and let God be God. So anyway, that was the end of her dream. The Lord told me that if we believe the last person to be infected with faction has already been infected, but they won't physically leave until they are cured and this faction is over. Which I thought, oh, praise be to God. And I asked for a confirmation, and I got it. I got four heads. According to Eve's dream, when the last one is slaughtered or dismembered, the bride is left standing, and the man-child comes out of hiding, so he's manifested, to set the captives free by taking out the demons. So if you understood that, you understand that this person that's already infected is among us, and of course out there too, is among us, but won't have time to leave. In other words, they won't go through this frog in a teapot thing to come to fruition and get mad, because that's what they always do at the end of it, get mad and angry and judge you for something stupid, which is no fault at all of your own. And then they leave, and then they slander you behind your back. They won't do Matthew 18 and 15 and come and talk to you. They won't talk to you. The demon tells them, do not talk to David. Go and talk about David. Do not talk to David. So they do that. But if we see this, the last person is already infected, but as we believe for them, and this is, I'm telling this to you about the people you know too that are into this, you know, as you believe for them, they won't get a chance to go through the full cycle of this before the cure comes. Now, I know what the cure is. I'll share it with you. But first, I asked for that confirmation, and I got it. And according to Eve's dream, when the last one is slaughtered or dismembered, the bride is left standing, and the man-child comes out of hiding to set the captives free by taking out the demons. Okay, that's very clear in many dreams that we've had, and I got to say, that's the cure. So we're very close to the cure. That's the cure. And we're told that the man-child will come early. We've had that in several dreams. And I'm not sure what that means. It could mean that he will come slightly before the tribulation. And obviously, if there's not some kind of revival before the tribulation, many people are not going to be prepared to follow the man-child into the wilderness. As we know, the type and the shadow speaks. We can see that there is revival in various parts of the country going right now. There's a lot of teaching by John the Baptist types right now. We've, I think, probably been used in that same category because it's like the spirit of Elijah. We've been used in that category. We've preached a lot of repentance, and a lot of people have come to repentance. So this, of course, the John the Baptist ministry leads up to the man-child ministry. And we know the man-child is in the earth already, just as David was in the earth already and Joseph was in the earth already before they got anointed. And so the man-child is here, and doing his job, David took care of his father's sheep, you know. But they haven't received that kingly anointing yet. Well, this coming of the man-child, the Isaiah 61 coming of the man-child, it speaks clearly about the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He said, that's the anointing. So that's the anointing that's going to set those captives free. And I'm saying we're very close now. And let me say this too, that if anyone who is partially dismembered is offended by this word from God, just remember recent revelations that we've shared. Remember Philip's revelation where he was shown the sheriff of Nottingham as a Judas leading a mob to kill David. And he was shown not to receive any accusations against David. And he said that kept him in the trial that followed. And remember Robin's dream. I'm talking about just recent dreams that we've had. We've had many, but of two women and three men in red robes in UBM who were judging David through pride in their thoughts and then their words. And James 2:4 says, "Do you not make distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Become judges with evil thoughts. The Lord says that's his job. Who do you think you are? You think you're God? But that's what they think. And then remember Eve's dream of the hall of justice where people who had rejection judged me and were separated from us by justice. Because the factious or demon-possessed, it is they who are the Pharisees to crucify God's Son in a repeat of history. This death of the man-child will be on a spiritual Passover that we have thought would come with an earthquake on the East Coast. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be on a physical Passover. All the feasts and the symbols are signs of something to come, but they don't have to happen on one of those days. And 3 days after the Passover comes the resurrection, right? The Passover was the death of Jesus, right, as the man-child. And then 3 days comes the resurrection, which we believe will bring the new Madrid earthquakes. So I believe the death is the earthquake on the East Coast, and 3 days later, it's the new Madrid earthquake, which symbolized in the scriptures, by the way. In the scriptures, an earthquake came on the death of Jesus, and a great earthquake came on the resurrection of Jesus. And Sandy had dreams that showed her that there were 3 days between these quakes. The earthquake on the death, for instance, is in Matthew 27 and 50 through 54. It says, "And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened. Many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city and appeared unto many." And we had one time this lady that, the sister that died, and the sister was actually resurrected from the dead as a sign from God. But then later she died because of pharmakia, of witchcraft, and we got many revelations that this was something that was going to happen in that case. So I can tell you the whole story one day, can't right now, but one day very soon I think this will happen. And I'm not exactly sure how it will happen, but it will. 54 says, "Now the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus when they saw the earthquake and the things that were done, feared exceedingly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" And the earthquake on the resurrection is shown in Matthew 28, 1 through 6. It says, "Now late on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was as lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the watchers did quake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who has been crucified. He's not here. He is risen, even as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay." So there you have it. You know, 3 days in between two earthquakes. I'm leading up to something, so just be patient with me here. Isaiah 29, verse 6 is a verse we have received many times for the visitation of the Lord in the man-child at the Sennacherib of Samaria, to smite the Assyrians away from Zion, the bride. And as we have said, this could have a double meaning. I saw in 1998 the U.S. as Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Also, we have received this as a smiting of the factious persecutors of the Zion bride. So I'll read it to you. Isaiah 29 and 1. "Ho, Ariel, Ariel, the city where David encamped. Add ye year to year, let the feasts come round. Then will I distress Ariel, and there shall be mourning and lamentation, and she shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will encamp against thee round about." He's talking about with his army of demons to bring about this humility in the bride, right? And to cleanse the bride, right? "And I will encamp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with posted troops, and I will raise siege works against thee." Of course, that's what the factious do. They've besieged the bride, sought to take out from among them anybody that they can conquer. And of course, that proves that this particular person is not a part of the bride, because the bride will not be conquered. We know that from Scripture. "And thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be of below out of the dust," meaning humility, right? "Thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit." In other words, when God knew this person years ago when they were in humility, now, once again, they're in humility. "Out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust." So the bride is humbled by the crucifixion from the factious. And then verse 5 says, "But the multitude of thy foes shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones," that is that army that came against them, "as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be in an instant suddenly. She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with earthquake, and great noise, with whirlwind and tempest, and the flame of a devouring fire." There will be, by the way, a lot of fire. Anybody that's seen these earthquakes and visions have seen a lot of fire, because they are opening up magma underneath the ground. And very deep cracks in the earth are coming. And of course, cities, when they crack up and or when they sink, they always catch on fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her stronghold and that distress her, shall be as a dream, as a vision of the night. In other words, it just comes to an end, right? And it shall be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awakeneth, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall be the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. And of course, it always mentions all the nations, because Zion is not a one entity in the earth, a local geography in the earth. It's around the world. Zion is all around the world. The bride is all around the world, coming out of the body of Christ around the world. And of course, that means that all nations will have a part in the crucifixion of the bride, all nations of the wicked. So they will think to devour Zion, the bride, but will be destroyed themselves, according to this text. Of course, Micah chapter 4 tells us the same story, same story. In the last few days, we've received about the coming man-child, texts like John 16 and 22. It says, "And ye therefore now have sorrow," that was Jesus, "but I will see you again." And of course, we know how that is. He's coming in the man-child in Revelation 12. "I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Your joy no one taketh away from you. And in that day, you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it you in my name." In that day when we see Jesus again in the man-child, right? "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full." That was the text that was given. And then, of course, he went on to talk about a little baby born to a woman, and that was them, and that was the man-child, right? And just think about the joy in that day that is coming. The power in faith and in prayer and in the spoken word that is here is going to be awesome. And then we've received Acts 2 and 29 on down. It says, "Brethren, I say unto you freely of the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us unto this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne, he foreseeing this spake of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he left unto Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are all witnesses." And of course we know that this is the type, the shadow of the coming man-child, of the seed of David. So one morning in our Bible study, we got lots of words all about this. And of course, this is all by random, so it had to be God, you know, bringing these confirming verses. Now, this is something you may not know. When the Lord comes in his man-child body, he's going to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Isaiah 41 and 25 says, "I have raised up one from the north, and he is come from the rising of the sun, one that calleth upon my name. And he shall come upon rulers as upon mortar." You know, mortar is pretty easily crushed, right? Not like a brick, very easily crushed. "He shall come upon rulers as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Yeah, very easily broken. Who hath declared it from the beginning, that we may know? And before time, that we may say, he is right. Yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. I am the first that saith unto Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. And when I looked, there was no man, even among them there was no counselor, that when I ask of them can answer a word. Behold, all of them, their works are vanity and of naught. Their molten images are wind and confusion. So he said that he will come upon rulers as upon mortar, and as a potter treadeth the clay. And also Isaiah 42, and from 1 through about 9 or so, he tells us pretty much the same thing. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delighteth. I've put my spirit upon him. Remember what Jesus said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me, right? He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry, nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice and truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged until he have set justice in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the God, the Lord, he that createth the heavens and stretcheth them forth, he that spreadeth abroad the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. That's what Isaiah 61 did for Jesus, right? And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise unto graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare, and they spring forth, and I tell you of them. He will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. We received this text this morning about the man-child coming with earthquakes to overthrow the throne of kingdoms, Haggai 2 and 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Well, we've seen about this, a shaking that actually goes around the earth. We've had dreams about it, prophecies about it, visions of it, so on and so forth. And it starts with earthquakes and makes a circle, goes around the earth. It shakes the heavens and the earth. What would shake the heavens? Well, I know Planet X would do that. And also through an earth tide. You know what an earth tide is? An earth tide is actually something that happens with any planet or moon or whatever. When it gets close, it actually not only pulls the water as a tide, it pulls the earth itself as a tide. The moon is very weak, so it's not very much, but anything bigger than that would, of course, have more effect on the earth and cause many, many earthquakes. And I think we're close to something like that. And he says in verse 7, and I will shake all nations. and the precious of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory. Oh, thank you, Father. He will fill his house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. He's just letting you folks know you don't have to worry about tribulation. He's going to take care of you. He has it all. And then he says, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. That's because the repetition of history from the former reign to the latter reign, right? Jesus, of course, came during the time when the former reign was poured out. First, it was on him, and then it was on the disciples. And, of course, in these days, it's going to be the same way. Except there's one difference, that we've already been given the former reign, and the former reign will be given also at the beginning, as Joel said, along with the latter reign being given to the man-child. And then the man-child will, like Jesus did in the beginning of that, give the latter reign to the disciples. But the latter reign revival will be greater than the former reign revival. You know, when the man-child comes, like when Jesus came, it was he that started this revival. Not the John the Baptist revival or the Elijah revival, but the man-child revival. It was he that started it. There was a difference in the two. John didn't see miracles and such things as that too much. That came with the man-child revival, right? And this saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And verse 20 says, so you see, this is talking about the Lord's coming and the revival and the outpouring of the Spirit and the shaking of the heaven and the earth. Okay, so now let's read the second half of that. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. He was a first fruits body who typed the man-child as the first fruits who came out and led the people to rebuild. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. So there you see it again. Overthrow the throne of kingdoms. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down. Well, this is, of course, a type of the Red Sea deliverance of God's people from their enemies at the time of Jesus' coming in the man-child. It's a Passover, right? Those that are righteous, but not for the wicked. And every one by the sword of his brother. So God's throwing in a different thing here than happened at the Red Sea crossing. But it's still another parable that comes to pass, like the Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, the battle, the war there, when three armies came and God divided them and they killed each other off. He saved the people of God. It was a Passover, kind of like the Red Sea Passover, right? So we have a Passover. Just remember that the Passover came before the Red Sea crossing, which was another type of the Passover, because the righteous were delivered and the wicked were destroyed. So that was just like the Passover that they had in Egypt 7 days before. Okay, so, but remember that the Passover comes before going into the wilderness, which the Bible says is the tribulation. Okay, so we're looking for something devastating coming at this time, just before the tribulation, right? Amen. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet or a sign. For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. And Zerubbabel is a sign of the man-child, first fruits from Babylon. And his name means born from Babylon. So notice at that time when this man-child came, the Bible speaks of the overthrow of the throne of kingdoms. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And he will cast down the chariots and those that ride in them. So that's before the tribulation. This is again a type of the Passover before the tribulation. Okay, so the man-child is coming before the tribulation to bring this judgment and to prepare the people of God, because, of course, before they went into the wilderness, which Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 tells us is the tribulation, before that, they had to be baptized in the Spirit, in the cloud, and in the water. And the cloud was baptism of Spirit, and the water was baptism in water. So, the man-child has a work to do here before the tribulation. And will earthquakes come and change governments? Will earthquakes come at the time of the man-child and change governments? I believe to delay the beast rising against the saints before the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, when it is supposed to happen according to Scripture. I've watched this thing rising up, rising up, rising up, and I thought, this is out of place, Lord. It doesn't seem to be the right timing. And sure enough, that's what the Lord revealed to us, is that this is why it's coming. Remember, Pharaoh and Egypt was the kingdom that was ruling the known world. And God brought it down so that his people could go into the tribulation, the wilderness. He brought it down. How many of you have seen our president as Pharaoh? You know? Hey, he died in the Red Sea, didn't he? Well, and that was before the tribulation started. So I believe that what we're about to see is something that's going to delay this Pharaoh government from bringing great persecution against the Christians with ISIS and all that, okay, which they've already done in foreign lands and invaded Europe. I mean, this is purely to help the Muslims to conquer the world. It has been from the beginning. I don't know if you've watched. I don't see why the world is so blind, you know, that they're trying to cause them to conquer the world at this time. Well, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. The children of God will be free to go into the tribulation. And as you know, the first 3.5 years of tribulation, there's relative safety. Let me call it relative safety, because Jesus took care of his disciples in that first 3.5 years, and he didn't lose one of them except the son of perdition. And he taught them, and he raised them up, and they became very strong, kind of like Amos's vision. You remember Amos, who pled with the Lord, and the Lord delayed judgment twice before the final fulfillment. And that was because Jacob is small. He's not able to go into tribulation. He's not ready for it. Okay, so God is getting his people ready for it. And just remember that about Pharaoh. It isn't like the Ten Commandments at all. That Pharaoh drowned in the Red Sea. He was killed along with a whole bunch of his confederates. Right? So, let me share something else with you. This prophet Ken Dewey, he said, horrific events are coming to America. And this was given on February the 11th, 2013. He said, today, and this is hard to read because he puts parentheses in there, and I'm not sure which part is the Lord's and which part is his, but I'll try to get it right. Today I did sleep a little later than usual, but my sleep was light and difficult. And I got up a few minutes before 6 a.m. and went into the living room by the wood-burning stove to pray. And when I began to pray, immediately I heard the word of the Lord come unto me. You better sit down. And I know from experience that when he says that, something very important is coming, and it will be very difficult to hear. And I have hesitated to even write his words because of the extremity of them and of the magnitude of their meaning. When I said, Lord, do I have to write this? He said, are you going to obey me now? Of course, even though it is a strong word, I answered, yes, if you want me to, I will. Now, the word, as I heard it, I am moving in a horrific way in America, my wonders to perform. And then he has horrific in the dictionary, something causing horror, an overwhelming and painful feeling caused by something shocking and terrifying. Then he went on, the Lord went on, you must know and be ready because without me you will not stand. Remember we had that word about Jacob shall be made to stand. I'm able to make him stand. I will shake things off their foundations to uncover the wicked plan of the enemy to destroy this land. Yes, we've seen this before. Sandy's prophecies pointed to the government having something to do with starting earthquakes. And but then, for some reason, there was they came 3 days ahead of their plan, and they worried about that. But they said, don't worry, we control the media, so we'll take care of that, you know. That was in one of Sandy's revelations. They have a plan, but God's going to use this for his glory. You know, the devil can't outsmart the Lord. He definitely leads people to do these things and use all their technology to try to bring up to pass their destructions. But he can't do anything without God. He's not sovereign. He can only do what God permits him to do. But God is going to use the vessels of dishonor to sanctify and to crucify the vessels of honor. He always has. He uses the devil. He is in control of the devil. He didn't ever make a being that could outsmart him or to take his throne away from him. He never did that. That wouldn't be a very smart God, and he is totally smart. He has total intelligence. He doesn't have to think about things like the rest of us. He just knows what he wants to do, and he commands it. And he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, but he also does that in the wicked. So, he says, I will move to stop the present administration and the Democratic Party. They will fall and fall hard in the shaking. Okay, well, doesn't that sound like what we just read as far as the man-child coming and shaking and overthrowing the throne of kingdoms? I think it does. Many evil men will die the death. Yes, tragic death, cutting them short of their goal. You must know and realize that I will strike the very ground that they walk on. Well, that's an earthquake, obviously. And these earthquakes, by the way, are opening up magma to flow. And also, I just read here recently that Mount St. Helens and Mount Hood and Mount, gosh, what is the name of it? It's in the Seattle area. I forget it. But they're all recharging with magma, and they've all had a rush of earthquakes beneath them. So that's very interesting, you know. I mean, these have been dormant for quite a while, and now suddenly they're all recharging. Earthquakes are going off around the earth. The earth is moving. The volcanoes are going off around the earth. So, especially on the Ring of Fire, but we also here in the Midwest are very close to some gigantic earthquake fault systems that will be set off by all this. By this earth tide, I believe. Washington, D.C. will be shaken. The buildings of the government leaders. So bad that they will have to be an emergency leadership set up. And in the setting up of it, many changes will result. Well, we've had a leadership that's bent on totally destroying the nation and the Christians around the world and here. That's their plan, that's their scheme. But it's too early for that. And the Lord wants to show his power to deliver his people from Pharaoh. Anyway, back to the prophecy here. I will raise up new leaders to walk in a different way. The present administration will cease, and many others. The Democratic Party will be devastated. I move to make a statement to the people of America. In other words, he's showing his anger against this wicked administration. And by the way, he does talk later about bringing down the GOP too. Because we know they're bought and taken, you know. They're threatened and quietened. They are, you know, worthless as far as the resistance for the Democratic Party. He said, by the way, I'm going to pick up another prophecy by him. This was back in March the 18th, 2015. He will not finish his term. I hear this word in my spirit coming forth, and I know it is a word to all who have ears to hear and eyes to see, that they may know and understand the coming events. Obama will not finish out, quote, unquote, his term as President of the United States, but he will be remembered and endeared by his Muslim friends. Okay. So going on with this present prophecy, it says, catastrophe times three. Catastrophe times three. Obviously, he's pointing to some major catastrophe, right? This has been my warning in the past that you have written. Earthquakes. Look for them. On the West Coast, on the East Coast, and the New Madrid will split. Well, we've been saying that for many years. and there will result major destruction, and many will perish. Amen. But the Lord is in control of that too, saints. Remember the Passover. The sad thing I got to say about the Passover is many people don't know about it or believe in it today. Even people that call themselves Christians. They believe in a salvation that is coming. They don't believe in the salvation that God gives here and now to your physical body, your circumstances, and so on and so forth. They basically believe and accept Jesus as your Savior, and one day you'll go to heaven. But they are very worthless in regards to casting out demons, healing the sick, doing signs and wonders and miracles to provide for the people of God. They don't believe in any of this stuff. They're very much unbelievers. And they very much resist the truth. Well, God loves some of them, and He's going to deliver them. Praise be to God. And so He says, America will arise from the ruins and arise different than when it went down because of the shaking that I will personally shake and open hearts to see me. Well, I believe that's already started. We're seeing the revivals, people waking up, people coming out of the world. We're seeing that. He said, men will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have spoken. Good men will arise with healing, and there will be awakening. I do believe that at least the beginning of this good men is talking about the man-child ministry, which comes with earthquakes, which will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and better men will come forward and take the government for a while, because God is in doing this is preserving a relative time of peace for the people of God to be raised up by the man child into, so that Jacob is not small when the beast makes war on the saints in the middle of the tribulation period. I'm telling you, they planned to do it now. And God's plan is in the middle of the tribulation period. And that's because He is bringing the church through a crucifixion. They are gaining knowledge and understanding, and then they're going through this crucifixion at the hands of the beast. Exactly like the man-child did before the tribulation. Exactly like the bride is doing before the tribulation. And so that's why the man, child, and bride go forth in that first 3.5 years, as we saw in scriptures, in Jesus' time, to awaken the sleeping church and bring them truth and power and anointing, and preparing them for a crucifixion at the middle of the tribulation when the beast makes war on the saints. The sleeping giant will stand up. Revival will break out. The state of Texas will arise in leadership. This administration has made war against Texas. I'm talking about weather warfare. Every time that government speaks over there in Texas, he hammers them. Yes, that's what it is. It's weather warfare. People think, oh, they can't do that. They've been doing that for years. Leaders will come forth to replace the fallen. I saw one particular man in Texas stand up. He came into my attention, and I heard the Lord say, read all about him and his beliefs. So I looked this man up on the internet and read all about his beliefs and history. I was hesitant to write his name, so I asked the Lord, do you want me to name him? He said yes. I want you to name him here. So his name is Governor Rick Perry. You know, he's not talking about him being president. He's talking about forming a government. They will, of course, have committees to form a new government if this one is taken down, right? By the way, I'll tell you this. In Sandy's revelations, when the East Coast earthquake hit, they were very frantic to hide this from the population in the world. Now, recently I thought, well, you know, if the government is taken down in that earthquake, as it did much devastation, she said, in the East Coast and in the capital and so on, if the government is taken down in that earthquake, they would certainly hide all of this as much as they could from the world, and the way to do that is to cover it up. Well, Sandy said, when she heard about the earthquake and how they lowballed it on the TV, she said, that's a lie. She knew it was much greater than that. So I'm thinking, I wonder if this is a revelation of why they're so diligent to try to hide it. You know, they've done it before, but of course you don't want the world to know that you've lost your government. That's when evil people would quickly take advantage of that situation, right? Or other people take advantage of that situation. So I thought, well, that seems to fit, you know. Okay, so let's go on. This is another one of his prophecies. He said, the trump, it has sounded. Now what? New wineskin forming. By Ken Dewey. Again, that was May the 12th, 2016. Again, there are parentheses in here. I'm trying to pick it out. It's hard to read. I'd like to have the notes separate from the text, because sometimes I can see that he's, parenthesizing a text that the Lord speaks, and sometimes he's putting his notes in there. So I'm trying to be careful. This morning, as I was watching the news clips, I saw the headlines about Paul Ryan and Donald Trump meeting in an attempt, so-called by the GOP, to bring unity to the Republican Party in all its offices and causes. And I heard the Lord break in and say, the way is fixing to get real dark. He said to me, now they talk of unity and there is no unity. And Donald Trump is an outsider and they want to control him. I'm not sure whose that was. And the Lord spoke and said this, the narrow road will become very small now. And only I can walk it. For none are able but me, as you will see and behold. All men are mere men, and there are none that are righteous but me. My trumpet has sounded the alarm. Now I alone can fix it. He has been my trumpet and has sounded, now the battle begins. Well, I think some people say, well, he's not a Christian, but that's beside the point, totally. God uses people who are not Christians to change the world. First of all, he does not set up Christians in the government, because Daniel said he chooses to set up over men the basest of men. The basest of men. But if you get a base man that is going in your direction, it's okay to use him for that, and that's what he's done. Some say that he's going to be saved through this. Could be. He's definitely a lot more in line with the average American, and and more so in line with the right, and contrary to a lot of the very, very evil things that the left is doing and bringing in America. He is contrary to that, so God can use him. Right. And it goes on, the GOP and the Democratic Party are full of evil men and the establishment agenda. Now will be the real test of who and what Donald Trump is. I'm not saying it, and I don't believe God's saying that he is a Christian. It's just not the truth. Okay. But his conservative views are more in line that will bring peace to Christians than the far left. And we've got the far, far left. And as I've said, Donald Trump has some things going. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I mean, I'm not even telling you to vote. I'm just telling you that God's going to put, according to Romans 13, in there who he wants in there. And I will leave it up to him. But I'm just telling you, Donald Trump has some things going for him that would make peace for Christians. And number one, he's not a homosexual. And number two, he's not a Muslim. And number three, he's not a communist. So, he has some things going for him that will definitely give more peace to the Christians who now see that great trouble is in the world and they need to run to Jesus. Now that's a real advantage, because they're going to be looking for somebody that can train them in the ways that first of all, they're going to lose all idea that they're safe because of America. And this is going to cause them to understand that they need the rest of the gospel. Multitudes are going to come out from among these dead gospel churches. And that's a good thing, because they need to be able to recognize the people who are Christ-like and who can lead them into the wilderness. And he goes on to say, now they, the establishment, all evil to the core, begin their process, since the people of America voted for Trump overwhelmingly. I don't know if that's his notes or not. I don't know that particular last part there, since the people of America voted for Trump overwhelmingly. See that they are forced to recognize the American people who want drastic change in Washington, D.C. Now the head of the serpent within the GOP will be seen clearly by all. Yes, some people have put their hopes in the GOP, and God kind of moved outside of the established GOP to bring this guy. It's seemingly a lot more conservative than they are now. They've been bending to all the left-wing liberal stuff, and I do know that it's somewhat because of the NSA having something on them, like they did on all the military when they took them out, like they did on European leaders when they twisted and caused them to bring in this invasion, for goodness sake, of their land. That all has to come down, or we're not going to make it to the middle of the tribulation period, right? So pray, saints, that people will get their eyes open and start praying and believing God, you know. And pray for the Muslims. I believe there's going to be, in much of the world, by the way, there is a Muslim revival. There are people coming to God all of the time. It is tremendous. You're not going to see it in the news. That's a fact. But these that have been brought over here to make war against us, pray that they get saved. Spend time with God. Talk to God. Pray that they be saved. when they start getting saved, their boat's going to sink. You know, the ones that are afraid of that kind of stuff will probably leave the country, you know. And the ones that want to will join with the Christians. By the way, Muslims make great Christians. It's because they've lived under the law. They've lived under threat. They've lived under violence, hatred, criticism. And when they find freedom and love, don't they appreciate it? So pray for them. Pray for them. Don't be a judge of the outward appearance. You know, God is the one who sees the heart. God is the one who changes the heart. So, but the prophecy goes on. Now watch and see what I will do to unravel the grave clothes binding the eyes of America. You think maybe he's talking about Lazarus here, you know? He was bound up, can't see or anything else, and suddenly he's brought out into the light and unwrapped, right? Now you will know the trumpet call. Watch and see, for the coming struggle will lead many into a dark night where I will be the only light. Well, that's good. If you're brought into a dark night and Jesus becomes the light, he is the Savior. He is the Savior of spirit, soul, body, and circumstances. There is nothing he will not do. He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. All he asks is faith, and he will save you in any situation. And like I said, much of the religious Christian world does not believe that. Now watch and see my plan unfold. I will bring down the evil men. I will walk like a mighty farmer and plow sin under the soil of this American land. Now you will know that no man or woman can do this job that only I can do. Well, true. Isn't it true? I am that I am, and I alone will raise up a nation or tear it down. I am. Man is not my master, but I am. I have heard the cries of my people, and I will arise now to shine my light into the night. I will plow this ground as no man can do. And when I am done, the light will shine yet for men to see. Did I not say that new wine cannot be put into old wineskins? Well, I guess he has to prepare a lot of wineskins then, right? New wineskins. That's what he's doing. Then how can I work change without cleansing the old? That which is bad must be removed before the new. So watch me as I move to remove the sin. A cleansing is coming. And when done, there will be the need to start over. All that is bad will be revealed. Of course, I've been praying this for a while, that all of the sin and all the evil conspiracies against the people of God and even the people of America would be revealed. I believe God's doing that. It is being seen, and more is going to be seen when this thing collapses. More is going to be found out, and people are going to feel free to speak it when this evil leadership is out of the way. They're going to speak it freely. They're afraid to speak it now. People have died, you know, from the Clintons and from the Obamas too, because they spoke out. It didn't take them long to kill him either. Well, everybody saw that, and everybody was quietened quite a bit. But if they're taken out of the way, all of this is going to be revealed. Many will fall, but truth will arise. Those who are running now may not run tomorrow. because the new wine is coming to replace the old. Behold, I will make things fresh and new. Nothing will be the same. But I am he who never changes. I am holy. He said, they're running now, but will not run tomorrow. Well, that could be Hillary and several other people that won't be running. If he's going to take down the evil, I can tell you, she might be going with Obama. Watch me work in the midst of the fire. And now this is Ken speaking. He says, I've heard the Lord speaking about 2016 and saying a lot of things of great importance. First, I have heard him talking about how this election year, would be like no other year. And that this year would be a time of great difficulty. By the words I have heard about the, quote, change of president, unquote, it sounds as if this nation will see its government fall down so hard that there will be of necessity a whole new order began to replace the fallen. In the midst of this turmoil, there is going to be a great time of blessing for the people of God. That's exactly what we have seen and what the scripture says. Okay. After the man-child comes, a great blessing for the people of God. We're not talking about materialism and prosperity like some people think, although God does give you everything you need to be blessed. He doesn't want you running after the world or loving the things of the world. That's just pure and simple. And of course, Americans have gotten worse and worse, and Christians have gotten worse and worse when they're caught up in this prosperity movement. They've become more and more corrupt, more and more loving the world and running after it, and no time for God. So he's moving to do something about this. The blessing that he talked to me about was in the form of building. No, not building, but building. He said he would call many Noahs to build what he called his arks of safety. Yes. And just like the Lord appeared to Noah at the beginning of the 7 days, and he told him after 7 days that the flood waters would be upon the earth. 7 days are the 70th week of Daniel. And so the same thing is true. God is going to speak to his Noahs who are building an ark, which is Jesus Christ, for the people to be in safety in while the flood rages, right? Ken went on to say, the fact is, the Lord has many thousands of his people in this land, and he intends to protect them from the storm that is coming. In this year, we can expect to see the Lord taking from the wicked and giving to his people. 2016, it's kind of like when Egypt had been conquered with a Passover, and God's people were set free and the Egyptians were destroyed. They gave into the hands. They saw God's favor upon his people and they gave into their hands. 2016 will actually be a time of building of his body. Well, amen. The man-child is coming in order to build the temple of God, preparing them for the great judgment that is coming. That's the same thing I've said. He is preparing his people. He's going to be preparing them all through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation and before. And because the last 3.5 years is when the beast makes war on the saints, the mark of the beast comes, etc., etc. And God's people need to be not small like Jacob was when Amos cried out for him. They've got to be ready for this. So, This is God setting the stage, you know. And at the time of the body of Christ building, there will be a great time of the ungodly falling. Well, that all sounds so very good compared to what we were receiving from the Lord. But the Lord generally gives threats. And when people cry out to him in repentance, and he does something about it. So we just thank God for that, for his mercy and his grace. Pray for revival, saints. Pray for revival. Pray for the coming forth of the man-child. Pray for the move of the Spirit in this land. Pray that God give good leadership. And when I say good, I'm not talking about Christian good. Beware of any Christian that gets into politics, for goodness sake. How many can we see that have been ruined that way? First of all, the Lord did not call us to do that. Read the Great Commission. The Lord has called us to do his work in bringing the gospel forth. Some people don't want to do that. They'd rather have prestige in the government and so on and so forth. They want power over people, just like a lot of people who get into the office of a pastor. They want power over people, so they're not qualified to do that. Well, God's going to shake that too. These people know nothing about living in the wilderness, and the people of God under them are going to realize that. First of all, they've lied to them about everything, and the people of God are going to realize that. They didn't fly away. Tribulation came. All these troubles that they said, oh, we'll never see that. We're going to fly away. You know. Well, they're going to know those liars. They're going to depart. Well, Father, we do. We pray that you will set the captives of these apostate religious systems free. That you open their eyes to see through the liars that have kept them captive. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for this miracle. We are trusting in you to bring them out from among them. You said you would come and you'd open the door to the sheepfold and you would call your own by name. You would bring them out. And Lord, we just praise you for doing that. We would love to see all of your people in freedom and able to know and understand that the whole Bible is still true. That all of the new covenant is their covenant and it never changed. And that these wicked men came in to destroy the word of God and the power of the real gospel. These are wicked imposters. Satan's ministers fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness. They're wicked. They destroy the very thing that will save God's people. They destroy the meaning of the Passover. Lord, we just thank you for revealing them for what they are to the people under them. We ask, Lord, that you send forth your dreams and your visions to the people under them, that they would see and understand clearly who is leading them. And lead them to good leadership, Lord. And thank you, Father, for doing this mighty miracle for your people, Father. So, saints, please get busy praying and believing, and God will hear you. In fact, he's heard a lot of people already. And I'm so happy to see this. Lord, we praise you. We ask you to draw us into prayer and draw us into your word. And those that have a revelation that they don't know what your word says, and the revelation that that's exactly what they need to be finding out, not taking secondhand stuff from pastors who've learned from other pastors that don't know what they're talking about, and just carrying on the falseness, the deception. Lord, that you would open the eyes of your people and show them that the most important thing is not new cars and houses and all the things that they like to, toys that they like to play with, and all the time that they use for themselves, you know. Lord, that right now is the time for them to seek you, Lord, and to seek the truth of your word. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So thank you, our Father, for your kindness to us and delivering us from evil. We just praise you and thank you for it. I'm going to read this again. I think I read it once before. It says, this is by Ken on May the 27th, 2015. He said, I'm coming to turn some things around. Underground things are moving around. Things that have been stable for thousands of years will again move. He's talking about, you know, earthquakes, you know, volcanic activity. This shifting will cause the outer crust of the earth to again shake violently. It is in the earth already, but you must know I could fix it, stabilize it, and subdue it. But for a moment I will turn away my face from it and will allow it. I haven't wanted it to happen, but it seems I have no choice now because you have taken it from my hands and you will get your choices. You will receive the fruit of your ways. Washington, D.C. will dance and then fall. Men will frantically search the rubble looking for their leaders. This nation will go down to rise different than when it fell. I will stop them short of their plans. I will be in the White House. I will be in the ruins, making sure the right men rise. I will definitely go to turn things around. I will shut the mouth of the arrogant and silent, and the silence will be golden. Any silence out of Washington in these days will be golden. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, praise you, Father. Praise you for your kindness to us. And praise you, Lord, for raising up and anointing new leadership for your church. Praise you, Lord, for your unmerited favor, because certainly your people don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. But thank you, Lord, for having mercy and grace. Lord, I've been trumpeting myself that we need to cry out for mercy and grace, and that's because we don't deserve it. So I ask you, Lord, to show your mercy, show your grace, even when people know they don't deserve it. Oh, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for doing this. We thank you for granting repentance across this land, even in high places, granting repentance to Islam who has invaded this country for evil purposes, granting repentance to evil leadership, those that escape the rubble, Lord, can think that I could have been there and should have been there, and that would be good for people to think on you, Lord. Think on your ways and go to your word and give heed to your word. Lord, I love your word, and I pray that every other Christian does too, will love your word. I pray you will put that in their hearts so that they'll seek your face and seek your word and seek to be humbly submitted to it and grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man, as our Lord Jesus gave us a demonstration of. So thank you, Father. Thank you for your great mercy and your grace upon us. And thank you for saving us from the evil that is upon this land. We just praise you. We give thanks to you. We glorify you. We thank you now, Lord, for bringing forth your man-child. in whom you will live and you will have freedom to act. We thank you, Lord, that this is your creation. We thank you that you're going to anoint them for burial at this time, and that there will be a death, a spiritual death, a burial, and a resurrection to the power of the anointed man-child who sits on the throne of David, who is only a body for the Lord himself who sits on the throne of David. Oh, we thank you, Father, for all that you've shown us and for this move of your Spirit. We know that the things that have happened, the things that we've posted on our site and so on and so forth will help people to understand this revelation, especially if they've gone through the rubble part. They will seek out truth. They will ask for truth, and you will show them truth. You will show them what you are doing in the earth. And we give thanks and we give praise to you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Saints, pray. Pray. Draw near to God. Sanctify yourselves. Get ready for this thing is coming so that you're not taken out by these things. Sanctify yourself by the word of God and by the faith of the Lord Jesus. By beholding Jesus in the mirror, sanctify yourselves and get ready for what's coming. That you can have a Passover, right? Passover of the destruction while it falls on the Egyptians. Oh, praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you so much. We receive your blessings, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.